Today, on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about 21 questions to ask before buying a house. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I am a real estate agent here in the Seattle, Washington area. But hey, even if you are not from Seattle, this podcast is still for you. This podcast is all about empowering and educating home buyers all over the nation. So you've come to the right place. Yes, we have a few different rules in our state that you may or may not have in your state. We do things a little extra here. We do some things less. But in the end, buying a home is buying a home. And eventually, you're going to work with a real estate professional, and they can clarify those differences. But essentially, everything you need to know about buying a house, you can learn on this, depending on which episode you're going on. Today's episode is called 21 Questions to Ask Before Buying a House. We're going to go over that. Some things we've covered before, some new things, but putting in this nice format for you for today. I do want to say, if this is your first time listening, if you are looking to learn how to buy a home, if you want just that step-by-step process, I've broken it into 10 parts, which is the first 10 episodes of this podcast. So just go back, go to wherever you found this podcast, go back to the first 10 or go to the website, yourbuyingahome.com, and listen to those first 10. That breaks it down simply for you. Also, if you are not like a, let's say you like podcasts, but you want to read it as well, I do have an ebook that I can send you. Just email me. Tell me where you're from. I like to know. Email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com and tell me where you're from and say you would like my ebook, and I will send that out to you. It's called The Ultimate Guide for Buying a Home, and it's free. There's no obligation. There's nothing. This isn't a commercial. This is just me offering it to you. Yeah, you can do that. Get that ebook. And also, one other thing, if you are early enough in the process or late enough in the process, if you don't have an agent right now, of course, a real estate agent, I recommend. If you are in Seattle, I want to help you. I'd love to. If you're in this area at all, Pacific Northwest, I would love to help you out. But if you're not, I've actually spent the last few years making great connections all over the United States. You'd be shocked where I know agents. So if you need a recommendation for somebody, if you need a referral, I can refer you to an agent somewhere in this country, wherever you are, you know, and if you need one, just email me again, silas@silasgetsreal.com. And I will, I'll connect you with somebody. I'll do a little email exchange with you, make sure you're a real person, ask you a couple questions, and then I'll refer you to somebody that I think is going to be great in your area partly based off those answers, but also, you know, I got to make sure you're real. Who knows, right? You're real. You're real and you're listening. That's the important thing. Thank you so much for listening. My only thing I would love for you to do, could you go to Apple Podcasts and leave it a 5-star rating? I'd love that. And I would love a review. Tell me how you found the show, what you liked about the show. What is it? What draws you back? If you could do that, that helps me more than almost anything. Sure, I'd love to give you a referral. That's wonderful. But it helps other people who are looking to buy a house know that this is indeed the number one podcast in the United States for buying a home. I like to think that way. Sure. If you enjoyed this, you know, yeah, do that. Really appreciate it. And that's it. That's all my plugging or whatever I do for it. So we're going to dig into this. Okay. I'm recording this on video too. For the first time, I'm going to start doing these podcasts on video. So I'm not sure. I'll have them on the website or I'll put them on my YouTube channel, something like that. So if you want to see, if you need to watch this, in a different format. Probably my YouTube, Silas Gets Real. That's what we're calling it. So, yeah, 21 reasons or 21 questions to ask before buying a home. Number one, what are your total costs? What are your total costs? Now, aside from, yeah, the house is going to cost some money. You're going to put a down payment down. There are other things that you'll have to end up paying for. Some of them get in the loan. Some of them are part of closing costs. And we've talked in an earlier episode how you can get these closing costs covered by the seller or whatnot, depending on your situation. Of course, the more you spend on your own, the stronger your offer, and also the, it doesn't get tacked onto the loan somehow. Anyway, here are other costs associated that are not just the home. So appraisal. If you're getting a loan, you're probably going to have an appraisal. There's some cases you won't need one, but you need like 20% down minimum and have to be primo person, and it has to be the right house and the right offer size for it. Appraisal though, but it's a few hundred dollars. You don't have to pay that up front. It'll be part of your closing costs unless you negotiate that with the other party for them to pay some of the closing costs, seller's credits, what they'll call it. But that's an expense. That's a few hundred dollars. Of course, the property yourself, as I mentioned, we're not including that. The inspection. So we have a whole episode dedicated to inspections here. You do have to have some money set aside for that. So, and that can range anywhere from $200, and I've seen up to like $700. It's really going to depend on if it's a single family home or a condo, the age of it, the square footage. So the older and the bigger it is, the more they're going to have to look at. So they're going to charge you more on that. So I can't give you a number. I can't say, hey, here's Steve's number. They'll do inspections for $300. It doesn't usually work like that. It shouldn't really, because every house is different. So there should be some standards. And if there's not, I always worry about that flat fee of it. So yeah, inspection, but count on that. Especially the reason it's really important to think on that, because that is one expense that you have regardless. You don't get the money back. You know, like if with an appraisal, they won't ever order the appraisal if it doesn't pass the inspection, right? But you have an inspection and you don't like the house and you have to get another one, that money is gone. So let's say you backed out or whatever for three homes. That could be, let's say it was $300. That's $900 that's gone right there. So that's also why you want to be serious about this is a house you want. Okay. Mortgage interest. Part of the closing costs will be mortgage interest, which you'll pay every month, but it's just that when you first buy, that's kind of, they want that interest up front for like the first month or so, depending on your closing schedule, but there will be a little extra there. The fact is, you know, if you, let's say you have a 3 or 4% loan, your house costs $400,000. You're going to be paying mortgage interest for 4% interest for 30 years on the loan. So again, the more you put on it, or if you can pay more, like my house, was a $500,000 house. It's supposedly at the end of the life of the loan, it's like $1 million that I ended up spending, which sounds crazy, but it's actually not that off from what you're going to spend renting anyway. It's just you never get the money back later. But mortgage insurance, you have to have insurance when you have the home. So they're going to make that bundle in with when you purchase the house. The best, I always tell people, check out whatever you have for car insurance and see about bundling it, usually a better deal. And that'll be your first payment on that will be covered in the closing costs. So you won't, and actually they'll work it into the payment and everything. So you don't have to worry about mortgage insurance every month. I'm mixing up that homeowner's insurance, mortgage insurance, It's different. So homeowners insurance is going to be put into that every month, part of the payment to cover in case the house burns down. The company wants to be covered, right? Now, mortgage insurance is a little different. That's something you pay if you have 20%, less than 20% down on a house. You're going to, or until you have that much equity in it over the years. Unless it's an FHA loan, then you pay that forever until you get that loan refinanced. Mortgage insurance can be a couple hundred dollars, anywhere from $100 to $300 additional each month that you're paying insurance, basically because you didn't have the 20% to make sure the bank wants to make sure they don't lose money on it. So they charge you some insurance for not having 20% down. But there's ways to get it off is quicker than expected. So just talk to your lender. That's something to talk to a lender about. How do we knock this off as soon as possible? And when can free financing happen to make it happen? Taxes. Most likely your taxes will be put into the mortgage. So, and when they go up, the mortgage company will be like, up your mortgage amount. So if it goes up $10 in the year, the property taxes goes up $10 a year, they will, or $10 a month on average, they will add that to your monthly payment eventually. So that's really the only time your monthly payment should go up, though, is that. HOA fees, those are fees not everybody pays, but it depends if you get in a homeowner association, but that's something else just to count on how much money you're going to need. Lenders will tell you too, like it'll affect your qualifying, whether you can do a homeowner's fees if they're significant or not. Okay. That was the longest question to ask. How much is it really going to cost? The rest of these are not as long. Don't worry. You're probably like, whoa, that took forever, Sile. It's the big one. What's included in the sale? Ask that. Before, you want to clarify, are appliances in there? Which appliances? Because sometimes people want to take their washer and dryer. They really love their washer and dryer. They want to take it. That's the most common one people want to take. Make sure appliances, any fixtures, see what your state, the rules are in your state. In my area, curtains stay automatically unless it's in the contract. Even though they're not fixed, usually there's a general rule in most states that if it's like attached to the wall, you can't take it. Like ring doorknob doorbells are becoming a big issue because they're a little pricey. They have a little video camera. They are attached to the house, so they should stay. But a lot of people are trying to take them. So you see a ring doorbell, make sure that's negotiated in there, whether you want to keep the doorbell or not. Okay. Question three, how long has the house been on the market? If it's been on the house 21 days or less, you can expect they're probably not going to want to lower the price. People always want a deal, but right now in a seller's market, no, there's just no reason to lower the price right now. It shouldn't even last 21 days. So that's a little odd, but still, just don't expect it. The sellers are not usually prepared for that. You can offer whatever you want, but it's just unlikely they'll take it. And if it's the first weekend, they're not going to. Come on. You better have some better good terms in there. Certainly, if a house has been sitting over 90 days, game on, yo. You know, just whatever. Just go for something. Something's going on. The house isn't moving, particularly in this market. A house is not moving. And even in a regular market, when it's not a seller's market, when it's a little more even, 90 days does start feeling pretty long to that seller. They're getting kind of concerned. So that's when you can start like going in for a lower bid that's going to really feel like a lower bid. And of course, that varies by market. So ask your local professional. Okay. Why is the seller moving out? They don't have to tell you, but I always ask. Do you know why? Yeah, they got a job somewhere. it helps you know sort of how much to offer. Okay. You get a better idea of, you get a better idea what's going to work. If it's urgent, if the reason they're leaving is urgent, then you're going to, you'll be great. If it's, you know, like, I mean, then you can lower offer maybe. That's the big reason to know why. They're probably not going to say anything if it's because the house is bad or if the neighbors are horrible. Maybe they'll slip it in. Who knows? That's just, you never know. So that's why I always ask, why is the seller moving? How much have nearby homes sold for? So your agent should have this information, but you can be checking it out. You should have an idea on how much similar homes in the area and non-similar to a degree have sold for in the area, because that's how you know if the offer, one, if the listing price seems fair, or if what you want to offer seems fair and unreasonable. Like, I'll often have clients that'll say something like, you know, they want to offer $100,000 under list price. And I know the house is going for, probably going to go for even over list price based on what's sold in the area, because it would be priced lower. You know, the only time it works is if the listing agent wasn't very good and got a really low price on it, went too low. So, but know the market, know the area. And that way you feel a little more confident too at the suggestions from your agent, or depending on the agent. There's some agents that are really hands-off and they'll say stuff like they just want you to pick it because they don't want to feel responsible. So, but that's how you know how much a house is worth. Know what's sold nearby, as similar of homes as possible for that offer. How much do utilities cost? That's a great one. Just to get a sense. And I even do this after it's in contract, just to get someone has an idea or whatnot. But especially if you don't know, like you've never been a gas, you've never had gas before in as a stove, how much does that change things? It's not a bad question to ask. It is something you're going to pay every month. So just shoot out, see if they'll answer. Some people have that prepared. Okay. Here's a couple questions about the people you'll work with. Is the real estate agent familiar with your target market? And this is what I go back and forth with. I always say to lean toward an agent you trust anyway, but are they familiar? See, this really varies by geography. Here in Seattle, I cover a big area, but not distance wise. Like you see, it's only 15 miles, right? That all across most of Seattle. It's like 15 miles, maybe, not much. If you're in a huge city, sprawling city, Los Angeles in the suburbs, you may want someone who focuses a little bit more. Some areas that I've listened to, people are buying homes that if you're going to make it as a real estate agent, you got to travel like 45 minutes to get to almost anywhere. So most data is online. You know, so I guess it's partly, do you really need your agent to know where the best coffee shop is? Right next to that house? How big of an area are you looking into? Because if you're all over the place, you can't be, first of all, yeah, don't be picking different agents for different neighborhoods. That's kind of rude, first of all. Just pick an agent that does cover all the areas that you would possibly look at or has sold there. And if they haven't, ask them why you think they would do well there. Sometimes they just haven't sold in an area. Like, it took me forever to sell in Seattle proper. I was selling everywhere outside of Seattle because when I first started, because nobody could afford to live in Seattle. That was meeting. Everyone was living in the suburbs. It took me forever to finally get that one. And then, you know, it took off from there. But I knew, it's funny, the areas that I knew like the back of my hand, I wasn't selling at first. It was kind of funny. Is your mortgage broker responsive? So the average mortgage takes about 30 to 42 days to close, right? So you want someone who's really good at replying to you, and you'll learn that early on when you're emailing them questions about your loan, getting pre-approved. You'll see how quick they respond. And the ones who don't respond tend to have a reputation for it, and who you have as a lender can make a difference. So that's why I always say talk to an agent to recommend somebody, because in your area, and I got people I can recommend to that cover a lot of different states. Just check with me, Silas@SilasGetsReal.com. And, but if a certain credit unions in the area or banks are known for being really slow, or versus somebody who's known, it's like, oh, that's a good loan officer. That's a good company. That can make the difference on, you know, like a tie for of offers. Here's something a lot of people don't do. What is the property's history of insurance claims? What is the property's history of insurance claims? So you can go, as soon as you know the house, you're going to throw it to your insurance people, and they will be able to tell you if there's been past claims on it for whatever, like if there's been water damage or whatever. They'll have the history of it. So, and they usually get to you if you don't know something. And sometimes homes, yeah, like if they were lying or keeping stuff and turns out there's a bunch of flood insurance or flood claims on it, I'll let you know and figure out if that's been fixed or what's going on. So as quick as possible, you want to know that. You really can't find that out until you have the under contract, but you know, you can have something in your contract about it. Next, does the house pose any health or safety hazards that wouldn't be found in an inspection? There's a few things that you want to think about that an inspector can't find. There may be, they're looking for signs of it, but they probably won't be able to. One, I hate to even bring this one up, but lead paint. Look, before 1978, yeah, there was lead in paint, and it's around it's in homes. It's on homes. There's a lead insurance disclosure you'll get before buying a home, like if it's built before the 78. I'll tell you this. Don't chew paint. Don't let your kids chew paint. But I've never had anyone actually do the lead test, but like I've never even heard of anyone asking for a lead test. It would be crazy. I don't know the cost even, but it'd be a crazy thing to hold on for. But it's not a bad thing to check, certainly once you are into a home. You check it out, especially if you're going to plan to do any remodeling. You can just take some paint chips and send them into somewhere. So that's what I would worry about. I wouldn't worry about it beforehand. Not really, but it's up to you. It's totally up to you. Asbestos. We've heard that word. It's bad. A lot of old homes have it. Some of it doesn't matter. Asbestos doesn't like leak into the air, you know, unless it, like if you break something, if you break into a wall that has asbestos, then it can come out. Or if you start scraping popcorn ceilings, do not do that. Let the professional do that, or at least make sure it's tested before you do. Asbestos, they won't be able to tell, but like there's some glass that's made out of asbestos and it's really actually cool looking. And as long as you're not like licking it or going to break it, or, you know, it's not bad, but it's the popcorn ceilings are the big one. If you're going to remodel, you may need to do an asbestos test. But again, a seller's market, you're going to have to do that. It's another thing after you're in, you're going to get it. Radon in some areas. I don't really have radon where I am, so I don't really deal with it much. But radon's a thing. You can look it up. You can Google that, radon. I know they do them in California, test a lot. So ask your agent if radon is a problem. Ask your real estate professional if radon is right for you. Mold is a tough one. It's the scariest word in real estate, probably, right? Mold. Sometimes you can see signs. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't, and then you can't even blame anyone because it was hidden. It was in the rafters or something. Just make sure that house just seems tight, right? Trust, you know, and you can call for extra inspections if need be. If there's a suspicion from your inspector, you can, you know, if it's in your contract, right, you should have additional days to go get someone to inspect stuff like mold if you're worried about it. Especially the bad mold, some really bad molds, not like blue cheese, you know, bad ones, black mold, scary. But they don't, yeah, just because you had inspection doesn't mean it was caught. Infestations. So infestations like rats, mice, that kind of thing. There's usually telltale signs of it. It's honestly pretty usually it's pretty easy to deal with. Sometimes if they've gotten into some of the insulation, that can cost you some, but those are things you need to look for. Then, of course, are there any problems in the house? Have there ever been? That's another question. This is, they're supposed to declare if they know of any. Like here in Washington, it's a Form 17 disclosure. Discloses any problems they've known about the house. So trust them. Hope they're telling the truth. You ask the agent, see if the agent knows. You probably won't ever talk to the owner, but if you have a chance, you can always ask them anything you need to know, anything about this house. And if the agent knows about it, they have to tell you by rules in most states. So they'll tell you because they don't want to get caught trying to hide something that's really bad. Okay, now I got a few questions on what to ask about the house condition. Has the house seen any additions or major renovations? So has it, since they've owned it, has it had any additions or renovations? And you can always ask for the receipts, any info they have on those, just to see what was done. You want to see if it was permitted, what was done. Looking for permits, mainly to make sure it was done safe, right? How old is the roof? That's a good one to know the expense. When's it going to come up? Roofs can last 20 years, 30 years. About that, somewhere in there. So want to know how soon that roof there is going to be up for renewal. Because it can be a significant cost. Repair can get negotiated too. So don't freak out about how old the roof is. How old are the major appliances and systems? So we're talking furnace, stove, that if they know the years, that's great. Usually you can tell, but like a couple of things, hot water heaters have like a 15 to 20 year life is what I'm told. So if you want to know if it's 19 years old, you're going to want to replace it when you get in there. Furnace, same thing. You're going to want to know how old it is. If it's a 15 to 20 year cycle, when is it? When are you on that cycle? How big is the water heater? You don't want to know that because you might have to replace it depending on the number of people that are in there. For instance, they say the average person uses 10 gallons of water to shower. So if you have a really tiny water heater, this is what they say, just for reference. 1 to 2 people should have a 30-gallon water heater. 2 to 3 should have a 40. 3 to 4 should have a 50. 5-plus people, you need 1 million gallons size water heater. No, like 80 or 50 should be fine, depending. 80 for electric, 50 for natural gas. That's what they say. All right, and here's some questions. This is some questions you may not be able to ask the realtor, real estate agent, or the owner. You're usually not talking to the owner, but maybe you ask your agent or to ask yourself. Just a couple of questions to ask for yourself. For instance, what are the neighbors like? I would drive around and I would actually knock on doors and meet the neighbors to say, hi, I'm potentially buying this house, wondering what you think, or like if you know anything about the area, or what's it like here? Get a sense. If you're going to be there, you're going to have to meet your neighbors anyway. Might as well do it ahead of time. Find out if they're a jerk and you don't want to live next to them. But don't just because you get one little grump next to you doesn't mean you don't buy a house, right? You can still buy a house with a grump next door. Just don't see them. They'll move. How is the neighborhood? Drive around. Do your best guess. You can look up crime stats too in places. I can't legally tell you which spots, but you can look them up. And take from that what you will. There's a lot of sometimes reasons. There's things you need to think about besides just the numbers on what's going on, which is why I just think driving around day and night and a weekend. Learn what it's like on your own, right? Any problem neighbors or local nuisances? Some people love to share that. You'll get some neighbors who will talk about other neighbors real fast. And it's good to know who those neighbors are because they're going to be talking about you if they do that. But real, just you can, you honestly, sometimes just hanging out there and driving around, you can figure out who they are. But you might be able to check, depending on your town. Police. What are they? Blotters? Is that what it's called? Something like that. Were they the records of what's going on, if calls have been dispatched? And this other question, does this house have any stigma associated with it? Now, like stigma, when we say, usually we're trying not to say the words, but did anyone die here? It's not legally required in all states. In Washington state, I don't have to declare if someone died in it. Some states require dying. Some only require it if it was a murder. Excuse me. A murder or a suicide, then they require it. Then you have to tell people. But some states like Washington don't require any of that. Now, if the agent knows, and you ask them, they have to tell you what they know. But they don't have to volunteer it. Okay. That's, you know, like if it was the scene of anything bad or if it was in a movie, you know, you never know what kind of. And again, just ask people in the neighborhood if they know anything about the house, and they'll if there's a stigma, they'll tell you. Neighbors love to tell you. All right. And then my last question. This question only works if you are able to contact the owner, if you're ever able to talk to the owner. What do you love most about living here? It's even on, I think, that Zillow's site when people are trying to sell their own home there, they ask people that. What do they love about living here? And it's great. It's a great perspective to hear from people what it is about that place that makes them love it, you know? And then, and maybe you'll love those things too, or at least know what they were thinking of. That's half the time as a real estate agent, as a homeowner, you're trying to figure out what were they thinking? Why is that? And if you know what they love, like if you know that I love gardening, then you get it. You get why that was done in back, or like, oh, well, they love gardening. That's why. So that's it. That's the program, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein. Thank you. I appreciate it. Again, if you're interested in that ebook, or you need to be set up with a real estate agent, a fine real estate agent in your area, either one of those things, give me a call or email me at 206-351-9230. Again, that is 206-351-9230. And of course, I really do appreciate those reviews on Apple Podcasts. If you meant to go do it before, just go do it right now. And get that rating in there, and I can read it and I can be happy. And isn't that something we need this holiday season? To make that podcast host happy. Okay. You've been great, folks. I'll see you next time. Until then, happy home buying.